We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin, daf Dalad. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is our Masechta opened up at the first Mishnah in this parak. Ha'ishta niknes b'sholesh drachim. A woman could be acquired in Kedushin in one of three ways. B'kesef, shtar, ubiya, either with money, or with a document, or with cohabitation. So in that, our Gemara on the previous daf in Amud Beis explained, what's the source? How do we know that Kedushin can happen through kesef? So the Gemara brought a pasuk in Shemois that says, V'yatza chinim ein kasef, that when a girl leaves the master, if she's an Amma Avriya, a Jewish maidservant, so she leaves her master's domain when she gets older without money, and that we learned, but when she leaves from a different master, which is her father, then she leaves that there is going to be money, which is the money of Kedushin when she leaves her father's domain because she's going into her husband's domain, then there is money, whereas we explained, just like there, it's the master not getting the money. Here it's that the master will be getting the money, which is the father. So we see two halachas, one that Kedushin can happen through money, and additionally that money goes to the father. That was what the Limud HaGemar was on the previous daf. On that, our Gemara continues and asks, but v'hai b'yatzachinim l'hachi hu da'asa? The Gemara asks, is that really true, as we had interpreted on the previous daf, that this pasuk of b'yatzachinim, what it's coming to explain is the inference, which is that, oh, she leaves this master for free without money, but by another master or father, there is going to be money. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, like as we had learned on the previous daf. But hami b'yalei look at the Tanya, but we actually need this pasuk to teach a different halacha, like we learned in the Braisa, and therefore it's not superfluous, is not there for its inference to teach, as we had seemingly interpreted, regarding the monetary aspect of Kedushin. The time like learning the Braisa. These words are coming to teach a different halacha, actually exclusive for the halacha in the context of Amavriya. The pasuk says, V'yatzachinim, that this Jewish maidservant, which can only be sold when she's a minor, that at certain point she goes out free. Now the pasuk doesn't say, when does she go free? So and that explains the Braisa, Elu Yimei Bagris. This is a reference to the days of when a girl becomes a woman, becomes a begeris, which is that there's a transference, there's a transition that a girl is a minor up until approximately age 12 when she brings two pubic hairs. Then 6 months later, she then transitions to the next stage to what's called a begeris, which is the halachic concept of like being an adult. Now, so that, when it says, the least we can interpret from the pasuk, when it says, v'yatzachinam, she goes out free, meaning to say there's a transition here, the one that for sure is when the most that she's ever going to be out of someone else's domain, in her own domain, is when she becomes a begeris, which is when she transitions from being a naira, which is that six-month period, to being a begeris. Now, then the pasuk says another term. It says, not only does she go free, it says, in kasef, without money. So what does it mean to say? It means to say that it's not money that's going to be taking her out, but rather it's going to be something, I mean, because a mom of Rhea could leave her master through money. It's saying, no, that she'll be leaving even without money. Rather, something else will be taking her out of her master's domain. What's that a reference to? Elu Yimei Nairis. That's a reference to when even before Begeris, an earlier stage, when she's not even all the way in their own domain, something like one would call like the adolescent stage, which is this Naira, the six-month stage from 12 to 12 and a half, that already is even then she's going to leave her master's domain when she's a Jewish maidservant. Which Gemara shortly is going to ask that if she already leaves at age 12, then what are we learning out from V'yatzachinim that she leaves when she's a begeris, when she's 12 and a half, if no Jewish maidservant is ever going to be there when she becomes a begeris, if she already leaves at age 12. But that's what the Braisa teaches from V'yatzachinim, tells you she leaves when she's a begeris, and Kosov teaches that she leaves that even without money, even just by just becoming a naira. So the question is, how can you say that we learn that from V'yatzachinim in cause of the drasha that you said in the previous staff to tell you, oh, that here she leaves without money, but by different masters she leaves with money? The pasuk is not superfluous to make that drasha. It's necessary to teach us actually what is the age when a girl reaches that she then leaves even without paying her way out of being a Jewish maidservant. So Amar Avina explains, you're right. It's teaching the halacha of this braisa, but it's also teaching the halacha of the previous staff. Why so? So he explains, Im Kain, if it was only teaching the halacha of the braisa that we just quoted, Le makra ein kasef. Let the pasuk say this v'yatzachinim ein kasef without money, without a yud, as we'll shortly bring, as the pasuk says elsewhere, me'ein yavami. The word ein could actually be without a yud. My ein kasef. Why does it say an extra yud in the Torah? Why does it say without money with a yud? So that extra yud actually is superfluous, coming to teach us, as we said in the previous daf, a different drasha. Ain kasav la'adin zeh, there is no money for this master that she's leaving. Aviyash kasav la'adin achar, but there is money for another master when she leaves. Umani u'avan, who is that? That's her father. Again, when she becomes engaged to a man, then there's money, and then that master does get money. That's actually all from that extra yud teaches us another drasha in these words. Now, the Gemara asked, Umimai didar shinan? From where do we know that we expound the extra yud in the word ain, hachi, in such a way? In other words, as its own and unique interpretation, its own drasha. So the Gemara says, D'tanya le'ulin na'braisa. The pasuk in Vayikra, and this is Perchav Beis pasuk Gimel, says, Uvas koin kisi amana grusha, says that if a daughter of a kohen will be widowed or divorced from her husband who was a non-kohen, and as the Braisa quotes, the pasuk says, V'zera ain la, and she doesn't have any children from that union. So then the pasuk says, V'shaval beisavi kinere, then she'll go back to her father's household as she was, as when she was a naira, when she was younger, which is, as the pasuk says, Melechma v'yatecha, she could go back to eating truma, because she doesn't have any connections anymore to the non-kohanic people, meaning she's not married to her Yisrael husband, because either he divorced her or she widowed, and she doesn't have any children from him. Says the Braisa, ainly, I wouldn't know that what would withhold a bas kohen from consuming truma, as the pasuk sounds like ilazara, only if she has children from the Yisrael. That would be problematic. Zera zara minayin, how do we know that even if she only has grandchildren from that union, that that's still considered a connection to non-kahanic relationships, and therefore she would not be able to go back to eat truma by her father's household? Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches, zera ain law. It says that she doesn't have any children, and again it says with a yud, it doesn't say without a yud. What that comes to teach us, as if you read the word ain with a pasach under the aleph, and a tseri under the yud, which is ayin, which is ayin law, which is analyze, look into her. Find out that even if, let's say, if her son died, but her son had a son, that will also withhold her validity of going back to her father's household to eat truma. That's what the extra yud teaches us. Now the Braisa teaches even more. Vainly elazer kasha. I would only know if she has appropriate, valid, kosher children from her husband. Those are considered in halacha children, which would not allow her to go back to her father's household. Zera posamenayin. How would I know that even if she had, let's say, a mamzer, let's say it was an illegitimate relationship, and the child they has is a mamzer, that would consider also that she has children from that Yisrael and wouldn't allow her to go back. Time alum, again, that's what the pasuk teaches. Zera ain la, that she doesn't have any children, which is, you could read, ayin la, look into it. Whatever the child is, even go deeper than what you would normally think. What is a child, which is a grandchild, or is a mamzer, that would also be considered having a child, which doesn't allow her to go back to her father's household. Now the Gemara asks on the Braisa, Baha fixa la zera zara. You already learned the extra yud for drasha to say ayin la, to teach that not only children, even grandchildren. So how can you say it's superfluous to teach a different drasha, even if the zera is pasal, not only kasher? So the Gemara says, no, zera zara la itzokra. That actually, the first thing the Braisa brought, actually doesn't need a pasuk to say that if she has grandchildren from Israel, that would make a hard pasal. Because the b'nei bonim harim kebonim. As the Gemara tells him, sechzivam, estav samach beizim beiz, grandchildren have the same halachic status as children. So therefore, when it says that if she has a child, she can't go back, that of course includes grandchildren. Ki yitzokra la zera pasal. So what do we need the pasuk of the extra yud to teach us? For not only for zera kasher, but even zera pasal, like a mamzer, would be considered having a child, not allowing her to go back as a bas kohen to her father's household to consume truma. So there again, we see in this braisa a precedent for the halacha that we're saying in our Gemara that yes, yatzachinim ein kasev is teaching us bagris and nairis. That's when she leaves, which as the pasuk there is told ma being an amavria. How do I know this other drasha of the inferential, which is regarding that when she gets engaged, then she leaves her father's household and the father gets the money? That's from the extra yud. It could have said in kasev without a yud. The extra yud tells us, as we see in this braisa, where it would make a whole other drasha of Ain la with the yud tells you that even zera pasul, so too over here. Now the Gemara asks, fine, you have a tanoic source, but the Tana gufe, but the Tana of this Braisa himself, minole, from where does he know that to make such a drasha that you actually could have a word ain without a yud to say that when you have a yud, the darashachi that you can then expound, oh, you didn't have to have a yud, the Torah wrote it with a yud, so you can make a whole exposition out of that. How does he know that? So the Gemara says, Ami, they said, as we find, Pesukim, Ksiv, it says, the Pesukim ben Midbar, it says, Me'in Bilam, that they came back to Balak, and they said that Bilam refuses, he doesn't want to come with us. So you see that Me'in is, even without a Yod, is saying the word of no. So to a Pesukim Devarim says, when it's by the process of chalitza, it says umein yavami, and my yavam, my late husband's brother, refuses to do yibum with me. The like siv b'hu yud, it doesn't say yud over there, and yet it means not. It means as if it says ein with a yud. The halachic siv b'yud, and here it says with a yud. Why is it with a yud? The Torah, if it could say without an extra letter, why would it say it? Shema meno, the drash hudasa, that's where the Tana infers that if it could have said without a yud, but it says with a yud, then you can make a drash out of it, and that's how he learned Zera Pasal from that pasuk with the yud. So too, we could learn from ein kasev, where, yeah, although it's teaching Eli Yimei Naris, but why does it say with a yud to tell you this other halacha of in kasav ladin zeh, of yesh kasav ladin acha, which is the father of the girl getting engaged. And the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned on the previous daf, when we were learning out all these different halachas, which the Gemara had asked, how do you know the halacha of Kedushin going to the father? The Gemara had introduced that we have a different halacha regarding that the daughter's, even a Naira, her earnings go to her father. So the Gemara explains the itzuch lemechtiv kiddushah halavia. The Gemara summarizes now and says we had to say that the girl's kiddushin goes to our father, even as a naira. The itzuch lemechtiv ma'isid delavia. We also have to say, so too when she's a naira, which is the period of 12 to 12 and a half, that her earnings also go to her father. Where, as we had brought a pasuk, it says that he gives his bitoy la'ama, his daughter, as a maidservant, where we compare a bas to an ama, just like a maidservant, her earnings go to her master, so to a daughter, her earnings go to her master. Where the Gemara is saying, similarly, you could have said one, learned the other one out of it. Whatever the daughter gets goes to her father. Why do we need a separate limit for her kedushin money going to the father, and also her earnings going to her father? So the Gemara explains, the kasev rachman the kedusha alavi, had we only taught, as we just brought the source now, in kasev, that her kedushin money goes to her father, Havamina, we would have thought to say, Mishum delay tarchabu, because she didn't work on it. Something a guy likes her, wants to get married to her, gives her money. Okay, so that goes to the father, because she didn't put an effort into it. Aval maisya deaduka tarchabu, but regarding her earnings, she worked hard. She babysat, she worked, she was a counselor, and she made all this money, so she worked hard on it. Ema di dahava, we would have thought, in such a case, the Torah would award it to the Naira herself. That's where we have to say that also, bitay la'ama, that even her earnings that she worked hard for goes to her father. Now, the other way around is true, too. V'yash min ma'isidah, had we only said that her earnings go to her father, that would be the kol misazna mine, because the daughter is getting supported and fed by her father. Now, therefore, the father is thinking, wait a second, I'm supporting this girl, and it's not easy, so whatever earnings she has goes to me, because I'm taking care of her. Now, his intentions of supporting her would be obviously on things which are common, which is that a person works and makes money. But regarding her kedushin, which is not something intrinsic from the girl herself, rather comes from external. And he never thought about that, that's why I'm feeding her, that if something happens, if she wins the lottery, something which is coming from out of the blue, that he would not have had thought about. In other words, that's something that's coming from this chasen, we would think that that wasn't his intention when he supported her, that what she earns goes to him, that's only what she works for. That's common. So I give you, you give me. But something which is unexpected, like getting engaged money, that we'd say actually that goes to her. Tzricha, that's why we had to have both limudim to tell us that both her earnings and her kedusha money go to our father, even as a naira. Now the Gemara now goes back to the braisa that we had asked from on the drasha of Yatzchinim in Kasef, which taught us Kesef Kedushin goes to the father. The Gemara had asked, oh, but the braisa is teaching of something else. Which the Gemara had answered, you can learn that both from the extra yud. So Gufu, we said in that braisa, it says v'yatzachinam, when a Jewish maidservant says there's a certain point that she goes out free, she doesn't have to be redeemed, which usually if you want to get someone out of servitude, you have to redeem them. There's a point that a Jewish maidservant goes out free. So the braisa, ilui mei bagris, that's when she becomes a begeris. In kasav, then when the pasuk says it's even without money, that's ilui mei nairis, that's coming to include the days of even when she's a nair, when she turns 12. That asks the Gemara, as we had alluded to earlier, v'lichta brachman the nairis, let the Torah only tell you she goes free when she's 12, v'loi b'yi bagrits. I obviously would not need you to tell me that she goes out free when she's 12 and a half, if she's already free at age 12. So why say v'yatzachinam, just say ein kasef, because that would already tell you that she's out at 12. So Amar Rabbah, Rabbah explains, b'zeh v'limin al zeh. One comes to reflect and teach regarding the other one. In other words, since the Torah didn't specifically say that she leaves as a naira at age 12. Rather, it's only inferred, as we said, because we have no other thing to make a contingent on what would make this Amar Avriya, this Jewish maidservant, be leaving from her master. So we would say, what makes her leave? So we need to say both of these terminologies, because had we said only one terminology, this is v'yatzachim and this is inkasim, had we said only one, we would have thought to say, okay, so what's the minimum we would be able to learn from the pasuk, what would make her go free? That would be when she becomes a begeris, which is the highest stage she reaches in adulthood. But by nairis, I would say that maybe that wouldn't come and take her, remove her from the servitude of her master. That's why we had to bring you another pasuk to reflect and say that obviously we already have one source for Bagris. What's the other source coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us even when she's a naira. As Rabbi explains, midi dehava teisha v'sachar. Just like we learned in the Brisa regarding the halachas of truma, regarding two different types of Eved Ivri, of a Jewish slave that's a slave to another Jew, which is called a teishiv, the resident, and the sachar, the one that's the hired one. The time like we learned in the Brisa. Pasuk says in Mayikra, the word teishiv, which this is said in regard to the halachas of consumption of truma. It says in the pasuk, teishiv kain v'sachar lo yechal kodesh. There's a teishiv, a certain type of eved of a kain, and there's a sachar, a certain type of eved of a kain. They can't eat truma. So what is the word teishiv, the one that's the settled one? That explains the b'raisa, zek kano kini oilam. There's a reference to what's called an eved ivri. He's a regular Jew who's sold as a slave to another Jew, who has what's called this ritzia. They bore a hole in his ear, which is because he wants to stay longer than how much everybody usually stays, which is 6 years. He stays up until Yovel. Now, so although he's there for a long time, his body is not acquired by the Kohen master himself like other non-Jewish slaves. And therefore, although Eved Kanani could eat Truma by his Kohen master, and Eved Ivri can't, even though he's staying there for up to 50 years. So that's even a Taishav, an Eved Ivri that's Kanikini Eilam. Sachar, when the pasuk says a hired Eved Ivri, that's a lower terminology, not like a settled one, but rather a hired one, zek kan dekinyan sham, that's a reference to an Eved Ivri that's only hired for a certain amount of years, meaning it didn't yet reach his 6 year limit of being an Eved Ivri. Even so, he's an Eved, he can't eat from the truma of his master who is a kain. Now that, the Brisa asks, yemer teishev lo yemer sachar. So let the pasuk only tell you the word teishev and not say sachar. Now, Vani Yemen, I would say, if kano kinyo oilam eino oichel, if an Eved Ivri that's acquired for, so to speak, eternal, which is the term of a yevil, up to 50 years, which is a term that Pasuk uses for the term of yevil, still, he's still Eved for such a long time, I'm basically, you own me, still, he doesn't need truma. So, kano kinyo sham lekalshkin, wouldn't I know for sure from a Kavol Chomer that if he's only there for a few years that he can't eat truma, why do I need a separate limit of the word sacher if I already know from the term taishav? So says the Brisa, Ilu Kain, because had we only said the term Taishav and not Sachar, I would have interpreted the pasuk to mean, you know what it means when it says Taishav? Who's the settled one? Zekar Nekin Yishalem, that's a reference to an Eved Ivri that's only there for his 6 years. He is the one that doesn't eat Truma. Avokar Nekin Yishalem Eichel, but I would have said that if he's Eved Ivri for up to Yevil, he was what's called Eved Ivri of Nirtza, then he would consume Truma because he's basically owned by the Kayin. The same concept Rabbi was utilizing, which is therefore that when the pasuk says the term sachar comes to reflect on the term taishav, which is saying where even if the Eved Ivri is going to be up until Yevil, still he's not going to eat truma because obviously one of them is coming to tell you the concept of nirtza. Because since you're saying two references, obviously one is telling you, okay, the less chiddush, which is the one that's there only for a few years, but then says another terminology. So what's that coming to say? Must be even if he's a nirtza, the Eved that's there up to 50 years. Now, once we have both terminologies, that's what the Brisa was saying, that it would sound more plausible that the one that's the one for 50 years, you learn them out from the word teishav, because he's the one that's more settled, he's more miyushiv by the master of kain than the one that's there only for a few years, and therefore he's more in the terminology of a sacher. But the one that's kenya ailam is called in the term of teishav. So Rabbi was saying the same thing over here in our context. You're right. Only say naira and don't say bakris, because if she's leaving at 12, I don't need you to tell me that she leaves at 12 and a half. But had we only said one terminology of a yatzachinam, then we would have said it's a reference to a bagris. I would have not known that she could leave as a naira. That's what we have to say, another terminology of inkasiv, to say that not only when she's 12 and a half, but even at age 12. That's Rabbi's interpretation. On that, Amalei Abaya asks, me dummy, can you compare your interpretation to the Bryce's interpretation? Hasam, over there in the Bryce, where we're talking about two types of Eved Ivri, one that has a hole bored in his ear and one not. Trei gufi ninu. They're two different beings. They're two different people, two different types of people. You could have both types of these Eved Ivris in the Kohen's house at the same time. Now, the chinami kasa rachmana toishav nirtza lo yoichol, that even if the Torah tells you that an Eved Ivri that's a toishav, who has the whole board in his ear, that he doesn't eat shuma, even though he's there for up to 50 years. The other kasa idach, and even though if the pasuk then is going to tell you the other one, and even though Habasachar Milsud Asir B'Kavol Chaymer, even though the Eved that's Konev V'Kinyan Shanim only there for 6 years, I would know from a Kavol Chaymer that he can't go ahead and eat Shum. In other words, even if you're going to interpret the Pasuk that a Nirtza can't eat, and that we learn that from the term of Taishav, and then it's going to say regarding the one that's not even Nirtza, and even though you wouldn't have to write it, but then it says Abaya, I would be able to explain the Braisa that although Sachar is a Milsud Asir B'Kavol Chaymer, something I learned from a Kavol Chaymer, but we find many times in Shas that even though it's something that you could have learned out of Makavo Chaymer, the Pasuk goes through the effort and writes it in the Pasuk itself. Now, therefore, since the Torah writes in these ambiguous terms of Toshav and Sachar, so you're right, that's what the Raisa says, that one comes to teach regarding the other one. And you can't ask that, oh, so you should have written Nirtza Beferish and not written Sachar, because that's what the Torah does. The Torah sometimes writes even the more obvious, there is the more obvious and the less obvious, and the Torah writes both of them, although I could have only written the term of Nirtza, the Toshav, and I would have known the Sachar, but still the Torah goes through the effort and writes something else. But asks Abaye Lahacha, but in your case, Rabbo, Chad Gufihi, we're talking about the same Jewish maidservant, one body. The problem with the way you're saying is, Ki Nafkala, when the Torah removes this girl from her master's domain, Beniris, when she turns 12, Bebagris, my boy, Gabe, when she's 12 and a half, what is she doing over there by her master? In other words, there's no feasibility of even explaining the Pasuk of an Amavriya going out when she becomes a Begeris. So how could the Pasuk say something that's never going to be? Let the Pasuk just have said explicitly Niris and nothing more, because it doesn't even make sense to explain the Pasuk the way you're saying it. You're saying that, okay, you would have only known one, and therefore you had to say another terminology to know the other. But the problem is, but now that, okay, that's the way you're learning it, but then why did the Pasuk say it that way? By the Toshav and the Sachar, where yes, it was ambiguous, they need one to teach the other, so fine. The thing is that even after it's written like that, there is such a case of a Toshav and the Sachar, they're two different people. Where yes, of course, if we know that the Eved Ivri that's for Olam doesn't eat, for sure the one that's only for a few years doesn't eat, but the Pasuk went through the effort to tell you both of these guys halachas, even though you could have one known from the other one. But the way you're saying it regarding to the Amaria, there's never even such a case. The Pasuk is essentially saying something that really has no reality to it, because you're never going to have an Amaria leaving at 12 and a half if they all leave at age 12. So therefore the Torah should have just written an explicit term that would have told us the halacha that she leaves as a Naira. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye says, a different interpretation. Says, why does it say v'yatzachinim ein kasef, which was the question the rabbi was trying to answer, just say nairis, I would have known already, but bagris. So Rabbi explains, le'nitzucha ella bagr de'ailanis. We needed to tell you the separate halacha of bagris when it's talking about an ailanis, who's a girl that doesn't have any simani nairis. She never develops the maturity in her body, which are the signs and the symptom of showing that she's a naira. So therefore, Sulka Daitachamina, I would have thought to say that if I only said one term of Nairis when she reaches 12, that Beniris Tepuk, that only when she brings signs of puberty, that's when she leaves. But Babagris Lay Tepuk, but even when she becomes an adult, which are these three stages, Katana, Nairis, and Bagris, that the Torah only tells you she leaves when she's a Naira. So an islandess that never develops signs of Nairis, she only goes and jumps quickly to the next stage from a Katana at age 20 to an adult, I would have thought that she never leaves her master, Kamash Milan. That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach you, that there is someone that leaves when she's a Bagris, which is when the Ailness reaches age 20, then she's going to leave from her servitude, again, actually through Bagris, because she doesn't leave through Nairis. So that answers that question about what do you need Bagris for if you really leave in Nairis. There is a certain girl that won't leave at Nairis. Now, Maskvila Ma Baravashi. Now, Baravashi asks an Abai's interpretation. He says, what do you mean? V'lav Kavol Chaymer hu? Isn't it a Kavol Chaymer? Why do I need a Pasuk to teach B'yatzachina that she leaves when she's a Bagris, that because this islandess doesn't have Nairis, so she wouldn't be able to leave from Ein Kasef? But umas simonim, if you're telling me that when she develops the simonim, she brings two siris, when she becomes a nairis. Now, regarding such a thing, she'ein mitzi mishus av, when a girl is a naira, she doesn't leave her father's domain. As we taught previously on Daf Gimel Mabez, that we said her earnings, even when she's a naira, goes to her father. Yet mitzi mishus adin, but when she becomes a naira as a Jewish maidservant, that removes her from her master's domain. So bagris shemitzir mishus av, so when she becomes 12 and a half or 20, whenever it is that the girl is becoming a bagris, where that removes her from her father's domain, because as Rashi explains, we never find the pasuk meriting anything to the father only up until when she's a naira, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chabez, la viha naira, only fine to when she's a naira. Bagris, we never find him being rewarded, which essentially is telling us that when she becomes a bagris, she's removed from his domain. Ein adin shemitzir mishus adin, so isn't it a kavo chaymer that it would remove her from our master's domain? So the question is, what do I need a pasuk for? Why are you telling me that it's telling you, Lagabi, an islandess, that when she becomes a bagris, yes, she never has nairis, but I don't need a pasuk to tell you. We know it from a kavo chaymer. Now, the Gemara later on is going to address, we just said earlier that a milsa de asa b'kavo chaymer, somebody can learn b'kavo chaymer, terech v'kasa b'kra. Pasuk goes through the effort of writing in the pasuk, so what would be problematic if we're talking about two different bodies over here? We're talking about a regular girl and a girl that's an islandess. A regular girl leaves when she's a naira, a idleness leaves when she's a bagris, just like you said with Teisha Vesachar. So although, yes, we know it from a Kavo Chaimer, but still we said that we go through the effort of writing it, even though you can know from a Kavo Chaimer. But that's Mar Avashi's question, not by it. It's a Kavo Chaimer, so what do you need a pasuk to tell you in the idleness if you know from a Kavo Chaimer from Nairis? So El Omer Mar Avashi, he says a third interpretation. He says, Loi Nitzrucha, we didn't need the pasuk of bagris, El Le'ikr Zvina de idleness. Actually, it was just coming, and it was needed to tell us that, to teach us that an idleness could be sold when she's a minor, like other girls. We don't need it to tell you that she can leave, because of course, that you know Kavo Chaimer from Nairis. We needed to say that you could even sell her as a maidservant. Because I would have thought to say, if the pasuk would only tell you that she leaves with Nairis. So yes, of course, I would know she leaves by bagris from a Kavo Chaimer. But I would have thought to say, only a girl that can leave through Simon and Iris, which is what the pasuk is saying, that's when she leaves, then it's such a girl that could be sold as Amavria. But I would have thought to say a girl that will not bring Simon and Iris, like an islandess, because she never develops physically that way, then her sale as a maidservant is not even a valid sale as a minor. So that's what we continue on to talk about. That's what, according to Mam Rav Ashi, the pasuk is teaching us, V'yatzachina b'chulu, that yes, in Kosov is teaching you regarding a regular girl she leaves at the age of Nairis, but the Yatzachinim teaches us Eliyame Bagris to tell you that even someone that will only leave through Bagris, which is an idleness, she could also be sold as a maidservant in the first place, and again, yes, then leave, which we would have known from a Kavo Chaimer, through at the age of Bagris. Now, the Gemara asks, which we just mentioned before, we referred to this question that Ulama Baravashi, the Amar, according to Mar Bavashi, who asked in the Baiz interpretation, and that he said, V'lav Kavo Chaimer, who isn't a Kavo Chaimer, why would I need V'yatzachinim to teach you an islandess that leaves by Bagris, isn't a Kavo Chaimer, if regarding Nairis, which removes her from the master and doesn't make her remove from her father, so Bagris, which removes from the father, isn't a Kavo Chaimer, would remove her from her master? So the Gemara asks, yes, it is a Kavo Chaimer. But Ha Marina, we just mentioned before, Milsadas of a Kavo Chaimer, something that you could know from a Kavo Chaimer, which if something that's lenient has this halacha, something stringent for sure, tarach v'kasav lo kara, the pasuk goes through the effort of going through and specifying in the pasuk. So what was his question? If we need the pasuk to tell us that the v'yatzachinim is teaching you the beggar of idleness, that what's the problem? Yes, it's a kavo chaimer, but the pasuk tells it to you anyway. So the Gemara answers, correct, but hanamili heichad elekel eshnuyu. When do we say this Talmudic dictum of Milsa Dasva Kavo Chaimer, Tarach V'Kasav L'Kra, that's only when we have no other answer. But when there is a different answer to explain the Pasuk, we don't use this interpretation of, okay, the Pasuk says it even though it's a Kavo Chaimer. No, generally that is a valid question. It's a Kavo Chaimer, then why would the Pasuk say it? So here, where Mar Bavashi has a different interpretation, that's better than saying a Abaye's interpretation, where then you have to fall and answer that even though it's a Kavo Chaimer, it's Tarach V'Kasav L'Kra. That concludes our Gemara's discussion, starting from the previous daf of how do we know the kinyan of kesef for kedushin. We know it from V'yatzachinim in kasef. Now the Gemara tells us V'tana Maishi L'mahacha, That was the Amarok interpretation, but there's a Tana that brings the halacha of our Mishnah of Kedushi of Kesef, which Rabbi Yehuda, it was the one who had taught it from in Kesef. The Tana, this Braisa, learns it out from Kicha Kicha Mistei Efrim, which we had shortly mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta. The Tana, we're looking at the Braisa. The Pasuk says in the Varm, it says, Kiikach ish isha uba'ala. If a man will take a woman and cohabit with her, if it will be that if she won't find favor in his eyes, then if he'll find something inappropriate with her, then he'll go ahead and he'll divorce her. Which we see at the end of this kicha, whatever this is, a man taking a woman, the pasuk requires a get to remove this woman that was taken through this kicha, through this taking. As the pasuk there ends, if she doesn't find favor, etc., where then he has to give her a sefer krisa and divorce her. So obviously we're talking about the pasuk is referring to a marriage, because it's talking about that such a kicha requires a get to remove her. So what is this marriage? When it says kiikach, ain kicha el bekesef. Taking means with money. How do we know that? Because v'cheinu omer, so says the pasuk in Bereishis, where Avraham Avinu says to Ephraim, nasati kesef asod, I have given the money of the field, kach mimeni, take from me. So you see, take from me what? Take from me the money. We see kicha taking is a reference to money. So when it says a man will take a woman, it's a reference to taking with money. And that's how we see that kiddushin happens through kesef. Now, however, the question is, but v'aloi dinu, it's a kabel chaymer that a woman should be acquired with money as in kiddushin from a kabel chaymer. And therefore, the question that's being posed here in this braisa is, so why do I need a pasuk to tell us this? Because as follows, uma amehavriya. If we find by a Jewish maidservant, she'ena niknes bebiya, she cannot be acquired as a maidservant through cohabitation. In other words, let's say her father gives her over to her master, that say, here, be boil with her, cohabit with her, and thereby acquire her as a maidservant. She doesn't become a maidservant that way. Yet, niknes bekesef, she could be acquired as a maidservant through the transfer of money from the master to her father, as the pasuk says in Mikra Chafei, regarding when we redeem her, that you have to calculate mikesef miknase from the money of how much she was purchased for. So you see that an amavri could be acquired with money. So the kal v'chaymer is, so zu sheniknes bebiya, so regarding a wife, that could be acquired with cohabitation, as Gemara learns later on from the word ubala, and that he cohabits with her. So ain't a din shetikne mikesef, isn't a kal v'chaymer from amavriya, where if amavriya cannot be acquired with bia, yet with money she could be. So here by the woman, where she could even be acquired with bia, isn't a kavol chaymer that she can be acquired with money? So why do I need a pasuk to tell us from kiikach ish isha that she can be acquired with money if you know it from a kavol chaymer? So that the Braisa says, no, yevama techiach, yevama, the halachas of a woman whose husband died without any children, waiting for yibum, she will refute the kavol chaymer. Why? She niknes bebiya. She could be acquired with bia ve'ene niknes bekesev, and yet she doesn't get acquired with money to her yavam to be like her, like his wife, totally to be removed with a get without chalitza, where although rabbinically there is something called a maimer, but biblically it doesn't, the money cannot acquire a yavama, as the Gemara teaches us later on Daf Yudal Maral. If it says in the pasuk yavama yava yaleha the yibma, that her yavam will have bia with her and thus create yibum, which tells us that only bia, cohabitation, concludes the process of yibum, and kesef, money, does not complete the process of yibum. So therefore the Gemara says, the Braisa says, you don't see it's a kavol chaymer, because you see that there's halacha but yevama that could be acquired with bia and not with money. So therefore, who would say that the same thing would apply to the wife to say from a kavol chaymer that, oh, if she could acquire with bia for sure with money, it's not true. You see, by yevama, it's bia and no money. Now, however, the Braisa asks, why would that refute the kavol chaymer? Mali yevama, I could tell you that, no, the reason why yevama cannot be acquired with money, Shekein ein niknes b'shtar, because we see she can't be acquired any other way. It has to be with bia, because you see that she can't not be acquired even with a document. But I would say that it's a kavol chaymer from a mavriya to a woman, where if there it's with money, here for sure with money, because there bia doesn't work and here bia does work. Moreover, is that a woman could be acquired even with a document. So for sure she'd be, and therefore you see it's not just with bia, like by yevama. So maybe I should tell you a kavol chaymer that should also work for money. Why do I need the pasuk? That's what the pasuk says. Says the brayse, the pasuk of that a man will take a woman. Which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Halama likra? What do you mean? Why do you need a pasuk? Ha'asila, you just prove that you should know it from a kavol chaymer, because you said it's not a kavol chaymer because you're refuting it from yevama. But then you refuted the refutation because you said no, yevama. You see, it's specifically just with bia, and not because that if you have bia, that wouldn't tell you kavol chaymer kesef. It would tell you kavol chaymer. It's just that there, it's only with bia, as we see, even shtar doesn't work. but by a woman where shtar works and bia works, v'shor kesef should work. So why are you saying that, oh, tamaloy mekiyikach, to the contrary, why do you need a pasuk for it? You know from a kal v'chaymer. So Amar Vashi, Vashi explains, mishum de'ikala meima, because you could say, mi'ikara d'dina, that from the source of this kal v'chaymer, in other words, where it is that you're coming to learn from, which is amevriya, that's actually where there's the pircha. That's where you could respond and refute the kal v'chaymer. Now Rashi just points out that the reason why I use the terminology of mikar d'dina percha, that's asking from the source of the halacha, is because the previous refutation which the Brisa had brought, which was from Yevama to refute the kal v'chaymer, that wasn't from the source of the kal v'chaymer itself. It was rather from somewhere else, from Yevama. Now Rav Ashi explaining is that the you could show that it's not a kal v'chaymer even from where you're learning it from. Because mehecha kamaisis la. Where would you be learning out the kal v'chaymer that a woman would be acquired through kesef or kedushin, and therefore you're asking where you need a pasuk from? You know that as me'omevriya, from the Jewish maidservant, where you said if a Jewish maidservant cannot be acquired with bia, yet with money, yes. Here by the woman where, as we'll prove later on, that she can be acquired with bia, for sure you know it regarding money, says the Gemara, no. Malo amevriya, if you say that it works by amevriya to be acquired with money, shekein yaitza bekesef, because she could also be redeemed with money. In other words, she not only becomes a maidservant through money, she also leaves from being a maidservant through money, where she could redeem herself within the 6 years if she wants to, as the pasuk says, v'hefta. She could redeem herself by paying her way out. Now, since money is considered significant regarding the redemption, so therefore we see that it's also a way of acquiring her. Taimer bezu, but who would say that you could say a kavo chaimer to the woman, she'ena yaitza bekesef, where she doesn't leave with money, as the Gemara teaches on the next daf in Hayamid Aleph, that says sefer krisis, that only a sefer, a scroll of a get could sever their relationship, but something else like money does not sever their relationship. So therefore, I would say that maybe only by amevriya, which she leaves with money, so too she could come in with money. Who would say that it works by isha, where she doesn't leave with money? Tamalayma, that's what the Brisa was teaching, ki yikach ish. So you would not know it from a kal v'chaymer from amevriya. That's why you need the pasuk of when the man takes a woman, which again teaches us kicha mistei Ephraim, which tells us that just like over there was with money, here also it's with money. Now the Gemara concludes the discussion where we had Rav Yehuda's teaching and we have the Tan of the Brisa. So the Gemara tells us if israch lemechta v'yatzachinim, we needed Rav Yehuda's halacha, which we brought on the previous daf, which we learned that it says in kasef that there's no money when she leaves this master as a amavriya, but there is money to a different master, which is her father, when she gets engaged, which taught us that there's kesef kedushin, that a way a woman becomes engaged is with money. And ve'itzach lemichtav kikach ish, and we also needed the Tana of the Brisa's source, which tells us that a woman's kedushin is with money. Why? Why do you need both? So the Gemara explains. Because Rachmana kikach, had the Torah only written the source of the Tana of the Brisa, which is kikach, when he takes Havamina, I would have thought to say, Kedushin de Yov Labal, the Kedushin that the husband, the chasin, gives to the Kala, Didahava. We would think that it goes to her. That's why we have to have Rabbi Huda's halacha, which teaches not only that there's Kesef Kedushin, but that it goes to the father. That in Kesef Ladin Zeb, but yesh Kesef Ladin Acha, that it goes to the father. Now, V'ikaz Rachman of Yatzachinim, have we only taught the halacha of Rabbi Huda, which seemingly teaches you both halachas, one that there's Kesef Kedushin, and that the Kesef Kedushin goes to the father? Havamina, I would have thought to say, Hecha de Yavel le'ihi l'didei, that when the girl gives money to the chasin, the kidashtai, and engages him, where she tells him, you become engaged to me, I would have thought, have a kedushin, that would be a valid kedushin, because since the pasuk teaches us that kesef creates ishus, creates a marital relationship, so what's the difference if it's his money or if it's her money? That's why the time of the Brisa had to bring a different pasuk, which explicitly tells us it says that when he takes, not when she takes. So that's why we have to have that pasuk to say that he has to give her the money and create the kedushin, not her give him the money and her create the kedushin. That's why we need both sources of kesef kedushin, one to say that not only is there kesef kedushin but it goes to the father, and one also to say that it goes from him to her and not from her to him. Now the Gemara moves on to the next kinyan mentioned in Mishnah of Bia regarding cohabitation. So the Gemara brings a Braisa, which this is based on the pasuk in Devarim Chavtes, Chavdalad Aleph, where it says, Ki yikach ish isha, when the man takes a woman, and says, Uva Allah, and he cohabits with her. So on that says the Braisa, Malamach and Niknas Bia. This teaches us that a woman could be acquired with cohabitation, where that's one of the three ways of Kedushin. Now, however, the question is, again, as we said regarding kesef, valedinu, but seemingly it's a kavochemer. What do I need a pasuk for? Uma yavama, if we find by the yavama where her husband died without any children, she'ein niknas bekesef, she cannot be acquired by her brother-in-law to have yibum with money. Yeah, niknas bebiyah, she can be acquired with biyah. So this woman, who we just proved just a second ago, that she could be acquired in Kedushin with money, in addition to Niknas Bebiya, wouldn't it be Kavochem that she could be acquired with Biya? Because by Yavama, that Kesef doesn't work, yet Biya works. Here, where Kesef does work, shouldn't it be Kavochem that Biya works? So now the Gemara, the Brisa says, no, the Jewish maidservant will disprove that logic. Because she nicknas bekesef, she could be acquired with money, but ve'ein nicknas bebiya, she's not acquired with biya. So you see, it's not a kavochemer. You see that it is feasible to have such a status of being acquired with money and not biya. So therefore, that's why you need to have a pasuk. But the Gemara refutes the refutation. No. Malo merviya, how can you prove or disprove our kavochemer from the Jewish maidservant? She'ein kinyan l'shum ishus. Her acquisition is not for any marital relationship. Therefore, of course, there's no concept of cohabitation creating that relationship. It's a master-slave relationship. So yes, there it's only going to work with money, not with biya. Taimer bezu, but why would you say that to refute our kavochema regarding a woman, shekinyon or l'shamishas, where her acquisition is for marital relationship? There it should be a kavochema. If it works with money, where yavama doesn't even work with money, so yavama that biya works isn't a kavochema, that it should work here by the wife. So what do we need a pasuk for? That's what the Brisa says, that's what the Pasuk teaches us, that Ubala, that he cohabits with her, that's one of the ways of creating Kedushin. Which again, the question is, what does that mean? Why do I need a Pasuk? Ha'asilo, you just proved that you know from a Kavochemer. Because although we thought we were going to disprove it from Amavriya, we disproved that disproving. Because we said Amavriya is different because it's not related to relationships. That has nothing to do with Biya. Of course not going to work with Biya. But something that's regarding marital relationship, it is a Kavochemer that it should work. If it works with money, for sure it should work with Biya. So again, Amar Ravashi, he explains, Mishum de ikula meima mikar de dina percha, because we could say that the Kavochemer is refuted from the source itself. Because Mehecha kamaisis la, we do want to bring the Kavochemer that Biya should work for a kinyan of Kedushin by a wife. You want to learn the miyavama from miyavama, where Kesef doesn't work, yet Biya works. So here, where Kesef works, for sure Biya should work. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya, not a proof. Mali Yavama Shakin Zukuka Vemedis. What are you going to prove by Yavama? The reason why Biya works is because she already has an attachment and she's standing and waiting to her brother-in-law, which is because actually it's a continuation from the Kedushin of her husband that died. All Biya has to do is to consummate, is to that tenuous relationship that's there with the Zikabon, is just to conclude it. But regarding creating an initial kinyan, that, who said that could work with Biya? Taima Bezu, so how are you going to say over here regarding a regular woman, she'ins kuka ve'medis, there's no bond. A regular man A and woman A, who they want to go out and create a relationship, who said over there that B would be able to create the relationship? By Yavama, the reason why it works is because there's already a Zika bond between her and her brother-in-law, which is because he's taking over his brother's relationship. There, maybe Biya could just consummate that relationship. Who said it could go out and create a new relationship? So therefore, I would not know it from a kavochemer from Yavama. Tamalei Muvala, that's what the Pasuk teaches us, says the Braisa, from Uvala, and that he cohabits with her, which again, it's saying that regarding a man taking a woman. So we see that one of the ways of creating Kedushin is through Biya, again, because we wouldn't know it from a kavochemer from the Halacha of Yavama.